He argued both to the population in Germany and to the international community, you see, all we want in Germany is to be restored to our rightful place in the international community. Equality, equitable treatment for Germany, to be restored as a as an equal partner in world affairs. But you see, the victorious allies of the First World War aren't interested in that at all. All they want to do is keep Germany in a position of subservience, and their unwillingness to agree to this disarmament offer reveals the bad faith with which they have dealt ever since the Versailles Conference. He withdrew from the disarmament conference in a huff and also from the League of Nations in 1933, since he saw the League as nothing more than a corrupt organization dominated by the victorious powers of the First World War, who were bent on the continued suppression of Germany. In 1935, Hitler would take three other very important steps to destroy the military clauses of the treaty. In March of 1935, Hitler announced that Germany was going to create an air force. This had been strictly forbidden under the clauses of the Treaty of Versailles. Hitler argued in 1935 that Germany needed an air force. All the other major powers of Europe had an air force. Even the Poles had an air force. The Czechs had an air force. All Germany wanted was an air force that was capable of defending German territory against attack from the predatory powers that surrounded it. It was always framed, and this was Hitler's basic modus operandi, always to emphasize his peaceful nature. He didn't want war. He had been a soldier at the front in the First World War. He understood the agonies and the losses of war. All he wanted was equality for Germany. Other nations had air forces. Germany did not. It needed to defend itself. Who would deny Germany the right to defend itself? Who could deny it? So the introduction of an air force in March of 1935 was announced. Although there were murmurs of protest from France, from Britain, and elsewhere, no action was taken. And a week later, Hitler made a second announcement, and that was his intention of introducing conscription and the creation of a German army of 500,000 troops. This was utterly forbidden by the treaty. Not only an army, but an army with armored vehicles, tanks, with heavy artillery, a full-scale army, a full-scale military establishment, forbidden by the treaty. Once again, grumbles, protests, but no concerted action on the part of the Allies. And then finally, adding insult to injury and driving a nail in the coffin of the military terms of the treaty, in March of 1935, the British would enter into an agreement with Germany in which a naval agreement in which England agreed to allow Germany to construct a fleet, including submarines, that would be one-third the size of that of Great Britain. This came as such a shock, particularly in Paris. Here was one of the great signatories of the Treaty of Versailles, a member of the League of Nations, a nation, a state pledged to defend the terms of the treaty. Not only standing by and allowing the Germans to rearm as everyone had done with the army, with the air force, Britain had now cut its own deal with the Germans. As far as the Third Republic was concerned, this was betrayal. The English had bailed out of their obligations and had now sought a special deal with the Germans. By the close of 1935, the military terms of the treaty were virtually undone. And then, in the spring of 1936, Hitler sent German troops across the bridges into the Rhineland, a move that was utterly forbidden by the Treaty of Versailles and a severe blow to French security. This was territory, as you'll recall, that was German. but according to the Treaty of Versailles, was to be a demilitarized zone. It was the Rhineland, the demilitarized Rhineland, that would allow France to be able to invade Germany easily, quickly, headed directly toward the Ruhr in the event of German aggression.